And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook Overtime. Yes, welcome everybody to YouTube. Kyle, did you make it okay?
Yes, I made it okay.
All right, and out there in Skype land, just all chime in at once.
Present and accounted for.
All right, good, good. That's what I like to hear. What we're going to do, because we've had some issues with the volume, we're going to try and turn you guys down a little bit, because people were saying you were too loud, and we were too low over here, so...
Everyone was just under zero then.
You're watching over there.
That's why I sounded like a robot, yeah. I'm looking at the levels.
And they're good.
Yes. Right. No one has piercing ringing in their ears yet?
Not yet. Are we supposed to get that?
Well, I know the other week we were playing around with that, but yeah. Things look mostly okay here.
All right. If you're going to complain, make it a good one, you know? But I think we're all right. How do we sound to you guys out there in Skype land?
We sound good, and we also seem to sound fine on the YouTube.
Okay.
In my estimation.
Okay.
And I would ask that if we don't sound good on YouTube, if any of the 21 people who are in the YouTube, who are live with us on YouTube, would let us know. Tim in Connecticut to just chime in and tell us that the levels sound good on YouTube for him. So people are starting to chime in and tell us we're in good shape. So until and unless we hear differently, I think we are go for launch, so to speak.
We also have a phone.
Yes, that's phone. Where things really get messed up when the phone calls start coming in.
I hate to add that to the equation, but...
You want to just bring a dial tone in? I mean, we can just test it that way. Go ahead.
You know, we're going to have to at some point.
Yeah,
just
why
peel
not?
The Band-Aid off. Okay, here we go.
There you go. Nice dial tone there. You don't hear this every day. So
be gentle.
All right, so is this a good level?
Yeah, maybe a little... Yeah.
It's literally a tone. Oh, yes.
Okay, that's a little high.
We like that.
Down.
Well, they make that. They make that high so that it gets your attention. That tone is supposed to get your attention from across the house because some idiot left the phone off the hook and they want you to hang it up again.
We don't ever play the theme on overtime.
No, we don't.
That sounded like we were going to play the theme on overtime, and I got super excited for a second.
Yeah, well, that's life, you know. A lot of disappointments, but yeah. You want to hear the theme, tune in again next week at 7 p.m., and you'll hear it then. All right.
Overtime.
Our phone number, for those who'd like to participate, is 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK.
Yes, where Off the Hook gets real.
Let's try and keep it peppy and see if we can get through a few calls today. And if not, then we won't. It's as simple as that. But we'd like to hear from a variety of people in a variety of places going through a variety of things. Because variety is a spice of life, is so I'm told.
Comment on anything we spoke about earlier on the show or something new or interesting that you thought we might want to hear about or look into.
And I've talked way too much, so guys, while we're waiting for a phone call, speak up. Anything you want to spout off about.
I'll just invite folks to, if you're eligible, take a, do what Reggie said at the beginning of Off the Hook on the air and vote in the WBAI elections. That would be very cool of you. And also keep supporting what we do at givetowbai.org. Become a BAI buddy. We love our BAI buddies. We love all our supporters. And, you keep us going. And we can say that here on YouTube where no money is changing hands for what we're doing. And YouTube is so far letting us say that without censorship.
Yes, all hail to YouTube and their corporate masters, Google, and their corporate masters, Alphabet, and their corporate masters, whatever planet they're all from.
Yeah, your pretentious Alphabet. Yeah, making up words, sanctioning the letters. And
we're going to wind up in an all-out war with
how
them.
How to
I know.
Arrange them.
Yeah,
yes.
It's
going to
happen.
How can we worship thee? Yes, we have a phone.
We have a phone call.
Phone call.
Okay, let's take this phone call and hope the levels stay somewhat sane. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Oh, this is weird. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to turn down whatever you're listening
to
us on.
There's a...
These are good levels.
Pulled up on my... Okay, anyway. Hi.
How you doing?
A little frazzled today. Thank you for asking. How are you?
We're good. Maybe we ask where you're calling from.
Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
A university town in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's good that you're in a university town because that adds sanity and craziness.
A little bit of both, yes, indeed. That is true. During the show earlier, some of you had been discussing the Google or the Gmail to Gmail thing, and I just wanted to kind of go, yeah, actually, if people are sending between Gmail stuff, it pretty much stays on their own undersea cables, even if they're sending it to different continents.
Mm-hmm.
Google kind of has their own separate physical network in addition to, you know, their IP space or whatever. So that is actually kind of how it is.
Makes sense.
For a while. They have some undersea data structures for parts of their trunk lines. It's partially how they have some of their data storage for cooling. So,
wow.
Anyway, that's just kind of some of the weird stuff I've picked up over the last few years.
Uh-huh. You don't work for Google, do you?
No.
Okay.
I may have Google Fi for service. Ostensibly, I suppose, financially, I am supporting Google in a horrible way and whatever, but, you know.
Nothing to apologize for.
No, I don't work for Google. I have not worked for Google. I've known some people who have at various points in time, but anyway.
Yeah, I know some people who do, and they tell me the same thing. It's you can't really get a hold of people. You can't get a hold of you know, any kind of support or, you know, expect them to change how they do things.
Yeah. Google Fi is... So the main reason I picked up Google Fi, if it matters, was because it was an MVNO. I'd mentioned we... No, that was something else. Never mind. Sorry. Google Fi started out as an MVNO for their self-service. And in a college town, it's really helpful because different cell towers get slammed when the students are in, right? Like saturation.
Yeah.
So having the ability to switch service providers relatively quickly on the fly was really handy because, for instance, like the Verizon signals would, if I was deprioritized because I was on a different plan, and wasn't paying the more money, whatever, my text messages would be just like, no, can't send, sorry. Like, this is SMS, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, the appeal for me was the fact that, well, okay, Verizon, whatever, switch over to T-Mobile or AT&T, whatever, or whatever local one might be around. But over the years, they've dropped their contracts for the other towers, so it's kind of janky these days. Like, Google's definitely gone downhill, like, weirdly.
Yeah, someone check on the search engine. Go to the search engine room and just make sure everything's still running.
Yeah, that search engine really doesn't return results anymore the way it used to. You get just a bunch of ads now, and way at the bottom, maybe something. But even if you put it in quotes, you don't get exactly what you're looking for. I don't know how you could make something like that get so unuseful.
I don't, yeah. It's... Other people have noticed Google seems to go through phases with their searches. Like, do you remember when it would show all the Cialis ads with their news aggregate?
I don't remember that specifically, but I believe it.
It was like 2015 or 16 or I think it was like 15. I'd have to go look. It's whatever, but there was a point in time where at least. However, whatever happened with my news results at that point in time, it was throwing in actual, like, they looked like news articles. It was for Cialis or random other medications and things like that. It was kind of, their service was broke for a little while.
Wow. Alex, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I just generally agree. I think it almost feels like when you're using Google, it's this outdated technology now. It feels very anachronistic in a sense, because it is. All the results are so littered with just crap now. I mean, this promoted content is almost all you see. And sometimes I get this ridiculous thing. I'll search for whatever, and it sends me on some Google journey nonsense. I don't even understand what the hell that is. But the whole thing really feels like it's becoming more and more broken. And it also seems like the business model of Google and promoting and selling all of these ads is really outdated in 2023 at this point as well. That we have this proliferation of generative AI tools that are going to be replacing, I think, the manual type of reading and scanning that we have become accustomed to doing anytime we search for something on Google. The caller, I think, brings up some interesting points too. And the search results are very often skewed or askew. And there's a lot of stuff going on called SEO poisoning now as well, or search engine optimization poisoning, where people will take these malicious domains, things that will have nasty links on them, perhaps things that will open up your cryptocurrency wallets and allow people to steal your NFTs, that type of stuff, or credentials harvesters, et cetera, so that when people are searching for ordinary terms or companies, these websites will pop up and direct users to malicious sites. And that's been running fairly rampant through lots of different quote-unquote journeys or search terms that are being returned on Google these days. So it's not only less useful, but also more dangerous.
Yeah, a lot of money being thrown around for these that to exploit these kinds of ad networks and stuff. It's kind of an old trick, but it's still super popular because the payoffs can be really big to just use things in way. It's a hacker mindset, but it can be really predatory. Just using things in ways that they were never really designed to be used en masse by well-heeled entities that want to do some campaigns that yield some info or money or some kind of payoff. It's not anything to spend it on an ad SEO like that or whatever kind of technique.
Alex, you have something else?
Yeah, very much to Kyle's point, I can tell you, I can share an anecdote with you about a particular case that I had, and this isn't sharing anything that's in confidence, because there were public filings about this particular case that described the facts a bit in federal court in the Southern District of California. But in any event, I shouldn't reveal who the company is, but this was essentially an investment-related company over in California a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago. The CEO of the company was transferring money from Celsius to Coinbase, cryptocurrency. At the time, it was close to about $11 million. And this was also when Celsius was still in business, obviously. But he had transferred the money over to Coinbase. It was something like 206 Bitcoin at the time. This was a lot of money, still is a lot of money. And at the conclusion of the transfer, he had logged into this Coinbase account for the company to make sure that the money was there. And in so doing, he received this notification that there had been unusual activity on the account. And he needed to, in order to unlock the account, go through some KYC, or Know Your Customer procedure, which was, something that's very reasonable considering you just transferred $11 million into an account, and that doesn't happen every day. It's certainly anomalous activity. So he called the phone number that was provided, got the Coinbase people on the phone, and they went through the KYC procedure with him, validated who he was, and explained to them that, yes, this was a transaction that he authorized. It wasn't theft or anything. It's just moving it from one exchange to another. And so they said to him, well, why are you using this personal account if this is actually for a company? You could save a lot of fees and things if you use a pro account. I think it was a pro account or a prime account. I can't remember which was which. But anyway, so they helped him set up this new account and set up and save all these fees and put the currency into that account. 2 hours later, he starts getting some notifications about, you know, his account and then goes and checks it, and all the money is gone. $11 million, just poof, gone. Right? It's, you know, absolutely incredible. Because he was never actually on the phone with Coinbase.
Oh.
What happened was, and here's a cautionary tale, was that a forensic analysis of what was going on in his machine indicated that instead of navigating to Coinbase.com, what he did was search for Coinbase login in the browser bar. That then returned a malicious site. The site that it returned was com-session-something-whatever.xyz. Right? What the bad guys did was they created an A record or a subdomain to the left of that registered domain that was named Coinbase. So the URL, when you clicked on it and looked at it, looked like coinbase.com because it was an A record or a subdomain on top of a domain name that was registered that began with com. So the actual URL looked something like coinbase.com-session-login.xyz. Now, what the bad guys very likely did here was they purchased Google AdWords so that anybody who was searching for Coinbase login, they would pay a fee to get their link, their domain, up at the top of the heap there. And anybody who clicked on that link was received a banner notification that there's been unusual activity in their account and they had to go through this KYC procedure. It just so happened that they got this poor guy who had transferred $11 million over to his Coinbase account, and they were able to steal it.
Doesn't Google have some responsibility for that?
Well, that's you could argue that, you know, they should be policing their AdWords a bit more and making sure that malicious sites don't pop up and they're not promoting or amplifying this type of malicious behavior or criminal behavior. So, yeah, I mean, that's certainly a legal theory that one could take.
I was just thinking, what about that know your customer?
Yeah, that's a funny point to kind of cut. I will say, you know, through very, very fast action and working with some trusted parties that help with this type of thing, we were able to actually recover a very significant amount of the stolen currency. It took a long time, but we were able to find it and freeze it and use the legal system in order to recover a very significant portion of it. So it wasn't a total loss, but what a bad day for somebody.
Yeah, really. Carla, yeah. Did you have anything else to add?
No, I'm listening and going through some other stuff, and I'm going, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff from Google's tag group. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm stuck on a contract for another year and a half, and then I got to figure out where else to go afterwards because Google's changed a lot, and I'm not sure I fit there anymore, if that makes any sense.
Well, there's always alternatives.
Yeah, it's after so many decades, it becomes difficult to extract. Like, if anybody's done their Google takeout, where you can basically download your entire Google biome, I don't know what else to call it.
if you have that turned on, yes.
Compendium, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, mine ended up being like 87 components big, and I'm like, oh, this is just ridiculous. The amount of data for that long is just insane.
It's amazing, too, to think about how long have you been searching on Google, and then how long have you had an account on Google, and when did that become requisite, and how much data were you producing as a user prior to that, and then thereafter when it can be broken down or compartmentalized into an account, as you said, 87 packages, that's a lot.
Am I the only person who uses Google without having an account? I mean, I just type Google and search for things, but I never have an account logged in at the same time.
Well, right, and I think a lot of people don't log in when they search.
But I think a lot of people do log in, and that's how their searches are so easily traceable, and their lives can be pieced together so easily.
Right. So, like, the big joke for me for, like, way back in like 97 or whatever, right, was, ooh, I was the second search result for cheese dip. Like, it was a thing. Like, at that point in time, Google was so young, it was kind of a joke, right? Like, oh, cheese dip, hey.
Wow.
You know, I made it to the first page. Silly stuff. It was a long time ago. We
it
were
was
young.
Fun.
You know?
Uh-huh. Those were the good old days, I guess.
For a value of good old days, I guess. Yeah. Sure. We'll run with that for now.
So we type cheese dip into Google. We won't find you, right, today?
No, okay. Not anymore. Hmm. No. right. So the point being, it was 2003 when they opened up Google to Gmail for accounts, but it was by invitation only.
Right, that's
at
right.
At that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how they do things.
I, working at a university, I knew some people. So I've had my account for quite a while. So that's, I think, how I managed to amass quite so much data. Mm-hmm. And it's become this thing where it's like, I'm not even sure, like, do I want to delete all of it? Do I not want to delete all of it? It's gotten weird.
Even can you delete all of it? Just deleting it will actually get deleted. You don't know.
Well, and also just organizing it to take it out itself makes it portable, and are you opening yourself up to some kind of vulnerability by just having it in a container on a system that it could then be copied and so on and so forth. I've had that dilemma myself, thinking about exfiltrating or getting, you know, deleting or removing yourself from a system. Even if you want a copy, what can of worms does that open? You know, you have to consider all of that.
With that much data, I don't even to store it off of live disk or live memory, right? Just
cold.
Off-site backup.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Like, I don't even, it would be like an entire spindle of CDs or DVDs. Like, it would be, the only way to do it reasonably would probably be to another disk and then just unplug the disk and store it. But do I even want to do that? Is this a good idea or not? And like, I don't even know where the lines are anymore for some of this.
Yeah, I think that's what we're all experiencing.
Yikes. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for letting me rant.
Of course, anytime. And please let us know how it goes with your archive life, as according to Google.
Thanks for sharing.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, we don't have to be like this, do we?
No, we don't. We have the, and that's the point. We always have the final say, and we always should have the final say.
Yeah, like your original point, you were talking about Gmail to Gmail messages staying on their infrastructure, and that is. Just remember that extends to you running your own infrastructure. If you run your own mail server, not for the faint-hearted, but it would be the same thing. It would exist on that single system. And I think people just forget that, and you know, it's hard to get back to that and talk about doing things in a kind of DIY way. But we still have that ability, and even that alone, I think, just knowing that is powerful.
Thanks for the call.
Scale. Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Bye.
Good call. And we're open for another good call. 802-321-4225. Really interesting thoughts there. Yes, Gila?
Yes. So we have had a couple of interesting comments come through. Someone did mention Alex, that it was entertaining that you couldn't remember Alex Jones because Alex...
Yeah. Oh, it's the same name. That's right. I didn't even think of that. That's your name, Alex. You couldn't remember that.
I didn't know.
Just shows you what happens when somebody gets banned on Twitter. out of my mind.
Another listener points out that the discussion earlier about 2,600 emails getting classed as spam because of keywords leads back to what I think were the origins of LeetSpeak, to evade restrictions based on text content.
Oh, so we have to speak in LeetSpeak now to get past Google? Is that what we have to do? Didn't they make LeetSpeak a language that they translate to on their own system? I think they did at one point anyway. But
it's very possible. And
needs to be protected.
Yeah.
A question that I'm going to kick into the show, because I'm assuming it's a good faith question, is why doesn't WBAI run some commercials instead of fundraising?
Well, because I guess the easiest answer is we're a non-commercial radio station. And in fact, the radio station is owned by the Pacifica Network, which owns five radio stations throughout the country, New York, Washington, D.C., Houston, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, or Berkeley, actually. It would be a violation of that charter to do that. I believe the license we have, the FCC, also stipulates we can't run commercials. But, you know, that those are the legal reasons. The reasons we don't want to run commercials is because once you do that, you're beholden to your advertisers. For instance, let's say Microsoft, or dare I say Google, decided that they wanted to sponsor the radio station in some way. The show that we just did on WBAI would cause some problems because they wouldn't want that to happen over the airwaves. I mean, maybe Google would allow it. I don't know. But they would have a say, and this is how commercial radio works. And if you piss off your sponsors, they'll stop being your sponsors, and then you have to raise money some other way, and your programming starts to be reflected in not pissing off certain people that support the radio station. At WBAI, we don't want to piss off our listeners, but that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about controversial things, because that's what our listeners want. And we all know we're not going to agree with 100% of what we hear on the radio station. Maybe you'll only agree with 50% or less. But what you do agree with, you'll value, and you'll believe that's enough to support the place. That's how it's existed since 1960. And dare I say it works. Compared to all the commercial stations that have changed their formats over the decades, WBAI remains as a non-commercial station. Rob.
And this also goes back to what I was saying about being the product, or, you know, being the customer. Because when you watch commercial television or listen to commercial radio, you as the listener are not the product. You as the listener are not the customer. You are the product that the station is selling to its advertisers. The companies that buy airtime are buying your ears so they could sell you beer or dog food or whatever. And, when we do radio on WBAI, the radio is the product, because the listeners are supporting that with the donations that they give the station, so the shows can keep happening. The listeners, it's not a commercial transaction in the sense that, this thing costs X much dollars and, pay that and you get it. But if the listenership in general keeps enough money coming into the station can keep making the shows. And that's what keeps the shows pure. That's what keeps the shows the product of the people who make it, the product of the station who makes it, not the product of a company that makes soda pop.
There you go. I hope that answers the question. All right, 802-321-4225 is our telephone number.
We have a call.
Oh, we have a call.
At present,
okay,
yes.
Yeah, it's so transparent, I don't even know when we have a call.
And maybe from overseas, too.
Oh, well, how about that? And good evening, you're on Off the Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm calling from Madrid, in Santiago.
Where are you calling from? Madrid?
On this call for...
Hang on, where are you calling from?
Yes.
Madrid, Spain.
Madrid. Madrid, Spain, yes.
Okay, wow, Madrid. Awesome.
Yes. I've been a listener of the hook for many years, but today was the first time I listened live. And, yeah, it was very good. And I want to add something to the... to something that Emmanuel was talking about in the beginning of the show.
Okay.
He said that he will do whatever it takes to get a response. And yeah, that's what I'm doing now, because I sent you guys an email like 3 weeks ago and I didn't get a response. And I'm afraid it can get, get caught on the spam filters or something. So yeah, that's why I'm coming now.
Well, hopefully it didn't, because we don't use Gmail, at least at 2600 we don't. Some of our participants do, but it shouldn't have gotten caught in spam. It's probably that we're just very busy and don't answer all the email. But tell us what's in the email. We can answer you right here.
Yeah, sure. So I've been using an open source software called Whisper from OpenAI to add subtitles to my family videos, because I've been digitalizing all my old family videos. My parents are deaf, so they cannot hear, so I add the subtitles automatically with a graphic card and this software. And I was wondering, because I finished now, I'm wondering if you would like to have all the hook programs transcribed for free, so I could provide you the several formats, TXT, SRT, or whatever, and maybe that could be useful to be able to search.
You know, I remember seeing this email. In fact, we were having a discussion about this. It's still ongoing as to whether or not this is something that we want to pursue. now, what was some of the problems? Rob, I think you remember some of the potential issues?
The potential issues were just an AI-based transcription, and this is something I'm facing for other projects I work on that need audio transcribed. AI-based audio transcription is a good starting point, but it's not a finished transcript. You still need a human to go over it and make corrections, make changes. And if you as a listener wanted to start like a website somewhere where you put up transcripts of the show, like I think we would all be fine with that. You know, we would think that's a very kind thing for you to do. But it also like it would not be a final product in the way that we would need if it were something that we were going to put on like, you know, the radio station's website or something like that. We very much encourage, like, people have done things with this program or Off the Hook, our radio program, to be specific, rebroadcast it or, you know, host it in different places. And ultimately, we are totally fine with that because we do this show so people can experience it, so people can listen to it. It's just nothing that we can take an active role in at this point.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, I think I will do it anyway, and maybe publish on some website and we'll do it again.
I'd like to see how the output looks for a single episode, so we can maybe see how good it is.
Yeah, just knowing how much curation it takes after you run it through the program. We were really interested in this as well, and we've used some programs like it. I believe the site Otter was one we used. But this has come up for transcribing Hope Talks, and we've had subtitles and in various forms, and this has been popular at other events. And I know Jolie from ISOC has helped us a lot with this, and he is very familiar with it and has used it. But it's evolving, so we are keenly interested in getting good at this because of the accessibility, as you point out. It is incredibly helpful to share and spread, especially a rich content like video, across languages. As soon as you have a transcript, you can start thinking about translations and all kinds of stuff opens up.
Yeah.
So getting really good at this and honing the state of the art that what's worked for people like you're doing with a home video project is a fantastic project, and how much curation might make it easier for us to help at least think about making a team or people that can say, okay, this batch is good. This is the definitive subtitle, because we don't want to just trust the AI. I'm sure you know that, right?
Right. Not, can you tell us something about the video project that you did? How difficult was that?
Well, it worked very well, except on maybe a family reunion where there are more than 20 people talking at the same time, and then it stays. But Spanish is, the language that it works better, the best language possible. Then it's Italian, and third is English. So I think the results will be pretty good, I will say. So you will be able to search, great, maybe a listener want to listen histories about payphones, for example, or something like that. That will work.
Wow. Yeah, as Kyle said, we want to do it well. You know, if people want a good example of how it's done well and how it's done badly, I think if you turn on your cable TV and you look at the CNN feed, they have a human, I think, that makes sure the words are correct. Now turn to, if you're in the New York area, something like News 12. They don't care. And you just see random words that make absolutely no sense, because that's what the computer is telling them. and there is no human overseeing it. So we want something that obviously looks like a human is in charge.
Curating and assisting, guiding the automation.
How long does it take to do, say, an hour?
So I think it's like 17 times the real time. So to do the 1,700 hours, it will take around 30 days or 35 days.
I see.
Something like that.
Wow.
So what I can do, if you want, is I can just do 1 month, as for example, 1990 or something like that, and then 1 month, last month, for example.
Okay.
So 8 shows, just as a test, and send you the result via email so you can check.
It's a great idea.
It's good enough to have.
It's a great idea, and we really appreciate you doing this, and I look forward to seeing where it goes. Rob, did you have something else?
Yeah, I'm also wondering, and this is just a suggestion, caller, I'm wondering if something like this could be a good starting point for, say, like maybe a collaborative project where multiple people could be going through episodes when they have time, all contributing a bit of the editing, you know, maybe get together on something like a wiki or something that people could collaborate on internally and then have something fit for, fit for calling our final product. I think there's a lot of potential in this. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we would love to see how it turns out. Please keep us updated with if you put this up on a website, if you put it up somewhere. We would love to keep tabs on this.
We also have a question for the caller. Question from YouTube asking if you go to the Madrid 2600 meetings.
Yeah, good question. No, I don't go.
All right. Just wanted to check.
I don't even know if there is 2600 meeting in Madrid.
Is somebody able to access the website so we can tell the caller where it is? I'll ask the caller if they're more loyal to Atletico Madrid or Real Madrid. No, you don't have to answer that. But they both played in the last 2 days.
Well, I don't know. I don't care about the football. Sorry.
That's the correct answer. Thank you. All right. Do you have...
I participate in the hack meeting community for many years in Spain. So, yeah, that's all from my side.
Do they still – you're familiar with the train station in Madrid, correct?
Sorry? About the train station in Madrid?
Yeah, the main train station. You're familiar with it?
Yeah, we have two main train stations.
Well,
San Martin.
There's a huge one, and it had a big display of turtles in the middle of it. I'm wondering if that still exists.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
This is a touch up. No, the turtles are not there anymore.
Oh, they're not?
They were taken care of. No, they're not.
Oh.
The garden's still there, but the turtles, they are.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, they get removed some years ago. Yeah, sorry.
Did they escape, or did they cause problems? Some of them are pretty big.
The doctors were taken to a center, I think.
It isn't a martial arts training center of some kind.
Gila, you have some info.
Yes, the 2600 meeting in Madrid is held at a place called Maldito Querer, which is at 5 Calle de Argumosa in Madrid. So if you want to head over there in a couple weeks and check it out, that might be fun.
Begins at 5 p.m. on the first Friday or a different time?
I believe it begins at 7.
7 p.m., okay.
7 p.m.
Okay. I just took note.
Cool. And you may see some of us in Madrid someday because we do like that city a lot.
That would be very nice.
Cool. All right, thanks for your efforts. Keep us updated. It sounds awesome, and it's a great hacker project.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. That's two great calls we got tonight so far.
We did, yes.
Want to try for a third? 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Hey, that reminds me, we discovered something rather interesting, and it's right here on Channel 2600. We found video from 1986 involving our good friend, Cheshire Catalyst, rest in peace, hosting one of the first ever hacker gatherings called Telepub 86. It took place in a hotel in Upper Manhattan, and it was basically, we talked about it when he passed away. We talked about how many of us met him for the first time at that particular event.
He was the last editor of Tap Magazine, which was the predecessor to 2600 Magazine. They stopped publishing in 1983. And this particular gathering took place in 1986, in April. And it was basically meant to address issues of that magazine coming back and what happened to all the money that was sent in for people who wanted to renew their subscriptions and never got anything. And he addressed all of that, and to his credit, he basically said, yep, I used the money to pay my bills. But he addressed it quite directly. That's how he was. And also, it was supposed to be a gathering where these two people known as the Wacko Cracko Brothers from, I think, St. Louis, were supposed to show up and announce the future of Tap Magazine, and they never did, and it never had a future, and that was it. But it's the sound is atrocious, at least at the beginning, until he gets into those particular subjects. Before that, it was basically a phone freak type of free for all, where people were talking about switches and phones and various other things. It's just seeing the people there. Some of them we still know. Some of them have become very important parts of the hacker community. But everybody was just so young. It was just incredible to see this. And this bit of history that we did not know even existed. Well, here it is. And you can find it. Just go to channel 2600. We're redesigning the YouTube channel. So it should show up right on top of YouTube, the YouTube channel, channel 2600. And we're going to be adding all kinds of other historical relics that are popping up. So look forward to that. Go ahead, Gil.
And just as a friendly and helpful reminder, if you are not subscribed to Channel 2600 on YouTube, go ahead and click that subscribe button.
Oh, no, don't say that. I hate every video on YouTube where they all say, like and subscribe. I don't care if you like, dislike if you want. Unsubscribe, it doesn't matter to us.
Unlike.
If you subscribe, you'll find this content in your home feed rather than having to go look for it. So it was a nice surprise when one day I opened up YouTube and there was Cheshire's face just saying hello. So that was a nice moment. And if you subscribe to Channel 2600, you will also have the opportunity to be greeted with that kind of stuff. And you don't have, I will not say smash.
You know, I hear you, but, you know, if somebody wants to subscribe to something, why do you have to tell them to subscribe to it? You know, it's like you're there. You know, if you like this, then you don't have to tell somebody to like it. They'll like it and they'll subscribe maybe or maybe not. You know, it's their decision. Every single YouTube video I see, it's always the same thing. Before I say anything, like and subscribe. And I don't, you know, most of the time, I just want to read a tutorial on something. I don't want to see a video. I don't want to see some guy in his garage, like, telling me how something works. No, I just want to read it. Like, you know, we used to have these things called manuals. That's how I want to learn about these things. But, okay, fine. If I have to sit through that, now I got to sit through a Google ad. All right, there's that. In the middle of a sentence, they're going to interrupt with another one. This guy keeps reminding me to like and subscribe and hit the bell or something, which is going to ring all the bells in my house, apparently, if something new gets posted. It's just turned into a real thing, you know.
However, I would like to point out that we've been doing overtime for, what, 2 years now? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first time we have said subscribe.
And we're not video, so there's that. You don't see us moving around at all, so we're breaking that rule. And we didn't say it at the beginning like everybody else does. We said it right in the middle. You'll never find it.
We might say it at the end again, though.
We might, but we'll probably forget. Because we do. We do. 802-321-4225 is our phone. Oh, we haven't. Every time I give the phone number out, we already have a call. Okay, so we have another call. By the way, levels are good. Everyone's happy with the levels. I haven't heard of any complaints yet.
So we are hearing that the phone calls are a little low still on YouTube.
Really?
The danger is, though, we'll get feedback or something weird, because that's all kinds of crazy.
I did turn them up about 20 minutes ago, so was it since then that we got a report that they were low?
We were hearing different things from different people. We did hear that our first caller was having a Bluetooth earpiece issue, and that was why her volume was low.
Oh.
So, Dory, thank you for clarifying on that. And actually, before we go to the caller, can I just jump in here for a second?
Go ahead and jump.
For those of you who are coming into the chat and asking about the origin stories of the panelists on the show, we're not going to give you our biographies.
Is that what's going on? Wow. I don't look at the chat. I don't look at the...
Because I know. This is why I'm here. And yeah. What I'm going to say is, no, we're not going to answer those kinds of questions.
Yeah, because we could get in legal trouble.
Well,
among other things.
That, and it's just sort of the antithesis. I mean, we go to great lengths discussing people's information in the information age, their privacy, and sort of boundaries, and how it is to operate in a world so connected. And I think that it's not as important to go completely against that and start forcing people to share some kind of detail that is itself the kind of thing we don't really encourage other people to share online. Like, we're living in an age where you need to be very considerate about your friends and your family and how you talk about things and how you describe details and stuff, because there's a lot of malicious people and hateful people out there that want to exploit information like that, frankly. And it's just, it's really unfair to our callers. It's unfair to people that, that write articles or participate in the hacker community to go outside of like what we've understood as hacker handles or pseudo anonymous identities, where people get to say and be and act in these different spaces unmediated and without fear that their personal life or some aspect of their privacy will be violated as a repercussion, or Google will come find you because you said something bad about it.
But you could say you're from Detroit or something, right? I mean, that's not really... I don't know what people mean by origin story. What is that exactly?
Yeah, it sounds right. Like superheroes or something.
We've all shared various pieces of our biographical information on the show. And in fact, if you want to know about how most of us came to be on this particular program, listen to the radio show, which you can find on 2600.com/OTH. Find the episode from 2 weeks ago where we spent the entire episode talking about what this show is, how we came to it. Alex was not with us 2 weeks ago, so we missed out on that. But the rest of us talked about how we found the show and where we came from. If you listen, you'll pick it up, I promise, but it's not something we're specifically going to go into.
All right. Shall I go to the phone call now?
We still have a phone call.
And someone please tell me if the levels are too loud or too low or whatnot.
Be gentle with
but
the call.
I won't see the chat, but one of you can just
this also,
jump in and tell me.
I might add, is potentially an overseas call. So.
Oh, well, then they're spending a lot of money, aren't they?
A pretty
penny. They're making a phone call from a phone booth or something. All right, let's get to it. Hey, good evening. You're on Off Talk Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, that sounds like Zap from London. Is that Zap from London?
Yes, it is.
All right.
I was
awesome.
More in Spanish calls from Madrid because they're like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And it's 1 o'clock in the morning for you.
Yeah, but I'm a regular caller, more or less, so it's just good to hear somebody from Spain, especially when they've got a meeting in Madrid and the guy didn't know about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, I dare say a lot of New Yorkers don't know about the New York meeting, and it's our job to inform them.
Yeah, we got
to
turn people on to these things, let them know.
Yep.
They can mix it up locally.
So how are you, Zap?
Yep. I've got some bad news. That's the reason why I'm calling.
Oh,
we've lost another hacker.
You know, it seems like every week. Give us the info on this one.
All right. It's a guy called Pascal Rascal, or known as the Rebel... from the UK, Rebel. He died sort of at the beginning of the month. We don't exactly have details at the moment. And the reason I'm phoning is the funeral is going to be next Monday.
Okay.
It's going to be at Lawnswood Crematorium in Leeds. And actually, Emmanuel, you've actually met this guy.
Okay. I don't recall, but I believe you.
Well, I'll tell you the story. I don't remember if you, when you came to England, I think it was in 1996. This is how far back we're going, so about 27 years.
Okay.
We drove up to Manchester to go to the Manchester Christmas party. And Tom convinced you to go to Leeds to pick up this guy. And we did a little excursion going via Leeds to Manchester. And unfortunately, he wasn't allowed to go because his mum wouldn't let him go. But, yeah.
Wow. And, of course, we lost Tom as well. So, boy, that's something.
Yeah, well, the last time I saw Pascal was actually roughly about 5 years ago at Tom's funeral. He used to come to the London 2600 meetings because he used to date Tom's sister at the time. And funny enough, Tom dated Pascal's sister, so, you know, it was something that happened at that time.
I think I remember
and,
that.
I'm trying to think. He came down for the funeral for Tom, and that was in May, and then he was planning to come down in July to the London 2600 meeting. Unfortunately, he didn't because he got mugged in London, and there was a police officer right there, and they took his laptop. And when he turned to the police and said, "Are you going to stop this?" The mugger sort of dropped his laptop and smashed the screen. So I felt guilty about that, and I really didn't stay in touch. And found out through social media, this is always the way how we find out nowadays, that the guy passed away. So some of London are planning to go to Leeds, about four or five, because there's not many old school 2600 people left going to the meetings. Mm-hmm. There's only a few, but there's a handful planning to go to the funeral with any luck.
Wow, our deepest condolences on yet another loss in the community. It's so sad.
Yeah, we're not trying to beat America. I heard that the person passed in the States, but it's just one of those things. And unfortunately, the guy's only about 40, so that's fairly young.
Yeah, absolutely. It always is. It always feels that way. I mean, even, you know, even when somebody much older than that, you know, Daniel Ellsberg, for instance, somebody who we met just, you know, one time at a hack conference, gave a keynote, and, you know, he was so young at heart, it felt every bit as painful.
Yeah. But the only other news I've got really is the three English 2600 meetings are going fairly strong. There's a Manchester meeting starting up in November.
Okay.
But currently there's Manchester meeting listed on your meetings page. I don't know what's going on with that meeting. There may be some old school 2600s that have just posted saying that it's continued, but I don't know if anyone's going to the Manchester meeting, so there's a bit of confusion about the Manchester meet that we need to sort out.
Okay. Well, it won't get sorted out on the issue that is at the printer now, but it will be sorted out for the winter issue, so that's a project we can work on.
Yeah, otherwise you're going to have two meetings for Manchester, which isn't going to be very good.
No.
I know it's a couple of ladies that are trying to sort out the Manchester meet, so that's going to be different.
Good, okay.
But, yeah, that's all the news I've got. With me, I'm not doing too good, as usual, and it's looking a bit hairy for my future, but, you know, I don't really want to discuss that. And on that sad note, I think I'm going to leave it. I hope we can get another cheerful call because this one's been a bit of a downer.
Well,
sorry about that.
Please accept our best wishes and sending you Alex has something to add. Go ahead.
Yeah, Zeph, something to look forward to. I'll be heading back and forth to London more regularly again starting next term when I start teaching at King's College again. So hopefully you and I can get together. I think it would be great to see your face again. I know we didn't have a chance to make it happen, but given what you just said, something to look forward to.
Bring Zeph into that Chelsea Arts Club. I think that would cause a stir.
Oh, they deserve that.
Well,
yeah.
I don't want to go.
I've
got enough problems trying to find clothes to go to a funeral.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have funeral clothes anymore. The last couple of funerals I've had to go to, I've been very casual because it's been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I haven't seen the parents of Pascal for about 20 years. So I want to be respectful, but it makes it very difficult when you're going to a funeral. You know, you really should just turn up as you want and just be grateful that you turned up at somebody's funeral. But we're trying to do the best because we are respectful people.
No, I hear that. And what you say makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I will look forward to looking to see you, Alex. But if you're in town for a while, you can always come to the meetings. I'm guaranteed to be there.
Yep. Yeah, I would absolutely love that. It's been a long time since I've been to a London 2600 meeting. And if not, then we'll get together at the Chelsea Arts Club, as Emmanuel suggested. There's no dress code there whatsoever.
Okay, well, it is difficult for me to get out of the house nowadays, but I will try, and I really would like to see you, Alex, because it would be good.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Well, I can always make it over across town and see you as well. So we'll make it happen, my man.
All right, good hearing from you,
Zach. Okay, I appreciate it.
It's always good to hear your voice.
All right, care, everybody.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Zach from London. So we've had Pennsylvania, we've had Madrid, and we've had London. So maybe one more, 802-321-4225. That'll be a quick one, though, because we're almost out of here. Gita, looks like you have something to say.
I do.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So in the origin stories discussions, someone did posit Kyle's.
Yes. Oh, boy.
All right. You ready? 40 years ago, a spaceship crashed into a field. It opens to reveal Kyle.
Wait, that's a superhero.
Yeah, and we already told this. We already told this story, so they're just reading from the comic adaptation.
Fine, it works. I'm sure there's plenty of other people that arrived that way too.
Uh huh.
Isn't that how we all arrived, really?
For all intents and purposes, it's accurate.
It makes sense. Answers. Well, so what else do you need to know?
But yeah, hackers arrive on the scene all the time, and these meetings are a great way to do it. So if there's so many origin stories out there.
Did they say it was a crash landing? Is that what they said?
Yes.
Crashed
into a field.
No, it wasn't. It was a landing. It wasn't a crash.
It implies, like, bad piloting.
Why do they always have spaceships crashing?
Burns.
Maybe they want to land in a particular way. Maybe what you see as a crash is actually how they land. Think about that.
I think the spacecraft pilots that have some sense know better than to land on this particular planet until we get our craft together a little more fully.
Steer clear.
Yeah, that's why they're not around. All right, 802-321-4225, only a couple of minutes left, so off the hook, overtime. Anything else we want to share with people? We talked about the Telepub 86 video posting, which was exciting. I'm glad we found that.
Yeah.
I really liked how, like, Cheshire was ageless, because you pull up that video and it's basically the Cheshire we know from maybe a year or two ago, just with, you know, darker hair.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still the same lanky guy, same face, same hairstyle. But he's kind of timeless and eternal.
Oh, that hurt. I echo that. And that loss was really tough, but he was always there as a constant. And like you said, just ready to help out, or just in my mind, ready to help out and just someone you could count on and so enthusiastic for this crazy thing that hacking is about. We have a phone call.
We have a phone call. Okay, this will be the last call.
Now
we're already talking, so they're going to have to stop talking if we're going to introduce them properly. This is Overtime. Good evening, caller.
Yes, hi. I just had a general question. Is there a reason why you don't take any calls on the radio show anymore?
Yes, there is a reason, because we're not at the radio station. We have no way of controlling the board.
And the engineers.
If somebody were to say a swear, which is illegal in FCC land, we wouldn't be able to hit the dump button because we're not in the studio, and that would cause a major problem. That's the reason.
Okay. I was wondering.
Now, if we go back to the station, which we do want to do, and if they open it up to more than just a couple of people at a time, then we can take calls right there at the station. But then we wouldn't be doing overtime because there'd be no purpose.
Why isn't the show open? Why isn't the radio station open for more than a couple people at a time?
You know, I'm not sure. It's a good question. We can ask. We haven't really pursued that because this is just so damn convenient. We're doing it all from our homes. So, I guess we could push the issue and see if, okay, maybe we should commute 2 hours each way to do a one-hour show. Yeah, that's always fun. It was always fun. I'm not, you know, putting it down.
We'll bring it back.
I miss it.
Yeah. Maybe a once monthly event. We've talked about it actively, and it is nice to be able to take calls there, to interact with the engineers and so forth.
Just being in Brooklyn. Remember Brooklyn? That was so cool.
That is.
Yeah.
It's the spot. So we'll take the comment under consideration.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Was there anything else?
No, that's about it. Thank you. Have a great night.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for listening.
And that is our last call for the night as we hit the 9 o'clock hour. Well, it's been fun, as always.
It was really fun. I needed this.
Great seeing you all.
Really happy to have talked to everybody.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good calls tonight.
Good company, good discussion, and good levels, I think, from what I hear.
Company is questionable. The discussion is great.
We'll talk
and
about that.
And thank you to our 29-30-ish folks who have been hanging in with us on YouTube, many of whom have jumped in the live chat, and we are grateful for all of you. Thank you. You know, join us in the future on the YouTube live chat. It is buckets of fun.
Yeah. Spread the word, too. Let more people know. Write to us, oth@2600.com. Again, listen next week at 7 p.m. on WBAI. Which is findable either at 99.5 FM in New York City or WBAI.org, where you can live stream us. And, of course, at 8 o'clock overtime on YouTube, channel 2600, where you can find every Hope video as well as an increasing number of other fun things. So keep checking in. Alex, I believe you had a comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, Rob, I'm just so incredibly sorry to hear about your friend, Kurt.
Yes.
And I think you did a wonderful job eulogizing her, and it sounds like she will be missed.
Indeed, she will. Thank you.
All right. With that somber note, we're going to say goodnight for now. Thanks, everybody, for listening and participating, and we will see you next week. Good night.
Bye.